Hello, friends. Welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle in the United States. This program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. We are the fastest-growing psychic, spiritual, and UFO radio program in the world with listeners in over 60 countries, and we are also one of the most popular talk radio on KKNW here in Seattle. And for those who are just tuning in, welcome to the program. During the last hour, we had a fascinating discussion with Dr. Michael Sala and Scott Lemriel, who are two of the world's most renowned UFO researchers and contactees. And as well, we talked about Dr. Sala's recent book on the JFK assassination. And we're very fortunate and grateful to have President Kennedy join us psychically through me and share messages with you all and with Dr. Sala and Scott Lemriel. We are also fortunate to have Una Drake, who's the head of the Seattle UFO group. Wonderful lady. And we're now going to have our second hour, and we've got Susie Ward on the line. She is a fascinating, fascinating lady. She's one of the world's best psychics. And her journey started with her son's unfortunate passing back in 1980. But since that time, Susie's been in touch with him. But before we start, I'd like to, if we could, I want to acknowledge the wonderful support of several different businesses, including the Inspired Crystal and Spiritual Shop in Tacoma and Brady's Oysters in the Westport, Washington area. If you like seafood, Brady's Oysters is a great place to go. And I'd just like to go ahead and Eric, go ahead and run those promos for both businesses now, and then we'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and we'll start our interview with the wonderful Susie Ward. Hello, friends. I'd like to introduce a wonderful friend of mine, Juliana, who's got a wonderful new shop in downtown Tacoma at 7765 Broadway called Inspired. Juliana, please tell my listeners all about your wonderful shop.
Hi, Ted. It's a pleasure to be there. We have a wonderful shop in the Antique Row in the historic theater district of downtown Tacoma. We specialize in beautiful crystal jewelry, gifts, tarot cards, artwork, and a lot of other things. A lot of our items are handmade and very special, and we buy from all over the world. Folks can schedule a reading, sign up for one of our engaging classes, or enjoy one of our exciting events. We do a lot of community events, and we offer a lot of unique and unusual workshops here. We're located in the Antique Row in a historic theater district of downtown Tacoma. We're easily accessible from the freeway, and there's lots of parking in the area. It's super easy to get to. We're placed among the unique stores in Antique Row, and folks can come down and have a wonderful afternoon shopping in the area and having a wonderful meal at a local cafe as well. So we're located at 765 Broadway in Tacoma. All folks can come and visit us on our website, inspirednewage.com. We're open Tuesday through Friday, 11 to 5:30, and Saturdays, 11 to 6. And be inspired. That is definitely our logo, and we certainly follow that. We dedicate ourselves to creating an uplifting experience from the moment folks walk in and hopefully throughout all of their subsequent visits.
Wonderful, Juliana. And I want to tell people it's very easy to get there. I visited their shop here a few days ago. If you're coming from the north, from Seattle, you simply take the city center exit.
Yeah, you take the A Street exit, and you go left on 9th Avenue, and then you go right on Broadway.
Okay.
And it's super easy to find. We're just a couple of doors down from that corner.
Okay, Juliana. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wonderful gift shop. I've been there, friends, and it's a wonderful place, and I urge all my listeners to please visit Juliana's shop.
Thank you so much, Ted.
Hello, friends. I'd love to tell you about a wonderful seafood place on the Washington coast. It's called Brady's Oysters. They're located on Highway 105, about 15 miles west of Aberdeen, Washington, in Westport. If you ever go out to the coast and you'd love some seafood, please stop by Brady's Oysters. They have wonderful seafood, including crabs, oysters, clams, salmon, halibut, steelhead, you name it. They've got it. And their prices are extremely reasonable. Their phone number, if you want to give them a call, is 360-268-0077. I've been there myself, and their seafood is great.
Tell your friends, the place to be is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle, Washington, in the United States. We have today as a wonderful, wonderful psychic and medium, Susie Ward, which we'll be going to in just a minute, but I just want to thank everyone for listening, and also I'm so grateful for all of our sponsors. My program is donated is entirely sponsored by donations, and if you'd like to donate, please just go to my website to www.outofthisworld1150.com and just press the donate button. There's also information too there if you'd like to send in a contribution by check or money order, but we really appreciate your support. I also wanted to tell you too that I do psychic readings for people, and if you're interested in having a reading, please give me a call or send me an email. My accuracy rate is between 90% to 100%, and I've been in touch with the other side for 21 years. My phone number is toll free at 1-888-879-8339, or my email address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And with that, I'd love to go to Susie. Susie, how are you doing today?
Wonderfully, Ted. And it's a delight to be with you once again.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And your son's coming through to me, too, and he says, don't forget about me. And I said, no, I haven't.
No, and I love it that you and Matthew chat.
Well, he's a good guy. I'm asking him now if he'd like to go fishing sometime. He said he'd love to. Okay, I'll see what I can do in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, it's fun.
That's funny.
It is, especially since that there's no linear time.
Right, exactly. I'd like to take him back to a spot that my dad and I went to in 1981. It's a beautiful spot. In the Twisp, Washington area, there's a bridge that goes over the river there. And when my dad and I visited this place back in 81, I have to tell you this story. We stopped in this bridge and we looked down into the water, and there's this beautiful, beautiful, crystal clear pool full of trout. And it was like fishing in a fishbowl, because every time you put your line in, you'd always get one. It was so much fun. But anyway, Matthew said he'd love to go with me fishing, so we'll go trout fishing here in a couple of weeks. But for my many listeners around the world, Susie, how did you ever get started in this? And if you could tell my listeners a little bit about Matthew, if you can, please.
Ted, first, I want to say that you are giving me much more credit than I deserve when you say that I am a psychic. I think of myself as a telepathic communicator.
Okay.
Because I know psychics, and I have such admiration and respect for their abilities. Please don't think that I'm not grateful for my ability to be talking with not just Matthew and God, but all of the other sources. I am, but I just don't want you to give me more credit than I deserve here.
Okay, all right. Well, I'd like to give you some credit. I think you're doing a wonderful service, and you have a fascinating story to tell, that your 17-year-old son was unfortunately fatally injured in a vehicle crash in 1980. And after that, you developed your telepathic communication with him in the other side. Is that right? What happened?
The way it happened is that, and it was almost 14 years later.
Wow.
I at least had gotten past 35 years of total indoctrination in Christian dogma,
sure.
So that I no longer believed that it was okay for us to talk with God, but if God talked back, or if we heard something back, that was Satan.
Sure.
Okay, so I was past that, and after Matthew was in that fatal Jeep wreck, I consulted three different mediums as a way of trying to cope with my grief.
Sure.
None of them knew each other.
Right.
And yet all of them told me, well, the second gave me sort of updated information from what I'd heard from the first as far as what Matthew was doing, and the same with the third. They all told me that when the time is right, you and your son will speak directly.
Nice.
So I did hold on to that hope.
Wonderful.
But It was more a hope than a conviction,
right.
Because at that time, I felt that telepathic communication was something so rare, and I was so ordinary that right. It probably would not ever happen. Of course, I have learned since then
sure.
that every single one of us has the capacity for telepathic communication.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just that it comes, it develops, the connections come when each of us is ready for it.
Right, exactly. That's true. That's
well,
true.
Even though, as it turns out, Matthew and I had made the agreement in the family's pre-birth agreement that I would, he had to go to the other side in order to not only send me his information, but introduce me to the many other sources of astounding information, Ted.
Wonderful, wonderful.
I mean, there have been, approximately 15, representatives of 15 different civilizations that
mm-hmm.
are so far advanced from us
sure.
In consciousness,
sure.
spirituality,
sure.
and technology.
Sure. Sure.
And so I recorded their messages, and they answered my questions.
Wow, that's amazing.
So those things are in the books.
Okay. Well,
and I'm sorry, Ted, I'm not giving you any chance to, you know, pop in here.
That's all right. That's okay.
I
just real quick before we forget, because this hour is a split show. You'll be on first and then followed by Dr. Gary Schwartz, who does a lot of work in scientific areas involving psychic phenomenon. I was going to ask you, what's your website, please, so people can look at your wonderful materials and newsletters and books?
Okay, www.matthewbooks.com.
Matthew.
And
books.
In the Matthew's messages section,
okay.
there are over 150 messages
okay.
that picked up after the five books in the series left off.
Okay.
And they are filled with information
okay.
that is designed to guide us spiritually
uh-huh.
in our personal ascension process and enlighten us
right.
about what is happening in our world
sure, sure.
in the context of planetary ascension.
Well, I want to ask you, and Matthew's coming through to me now. He wants me to ask you a couple of questions, kind of the lead on.
Okay.
As you know, Dr. Masaru Emoto unfortunately passed away last October. And I
yes.
wanted to ask you whether, if Matthew could contact Dr. Masaru or Dr. Emoto on the other side now, and what messages he might have for humanity. My listening base is over 60 countries around the world, and so he'll have a worldwide audience. Matthew says he does have some message. I'm going to be quiet and let you talk to him.
All right. What Matthew is telling me is that about the universal respect and love, the unconditional love
mm-hmm.
that all lighted beings feel for Dr. Emoto,
mm-hmm.
that in his soul contract, he agreed to come to Earth in this unprecedented time in the universe
mm-hmm.
To conduct those experiments to show just the impact that the feelings of love, thoughts and feelings and actions have. And he used water because in that case, he could take photographs. There is hard evidence of what he had been telling, what the information he intuitively knew. He was so, so in touch with the universe. And so it's not as if this is some new concept. It is as ancient as life itself. starting with the Big Bang, that love and light, they are the same. The same energy, the pure essence of Creator. And since the advent of what we think of as the Big Bang, that energy has permeated, well, the cosmos, and we are one universe in the cosmos. But in this universe, and it comes through the supreme being of this universe, whom many of us call God, well, getting back to Dr. Emoto, he is an ancient soul who has had so many experiences in lifetimes, and he was chosen and agreed to come to embody during this time to give this hard evidence to humanity of the effects of love light, which is the most powerful force in our universe, because it is the same in the cosmos. And Matthew and all other light beings are so grateful for his work here. They also are grateful to you, Ted, for realizing it and publicizing it.
Well, that's my sole purpose, is to make this planet a better place. And I know that sometimes it's not easy, but I know I'm on the right track. And I want to thank you so much for saying that. You really touched me.
Well, actually, Matthew was saying most of it. I started off as me, and then he just took over.
I wanted to ask, too, as a follow-up to that, what messages Dr. Emoto might have for his wonderful office in Tokyo, including Hiro, his son, Dr. Emoto, and his wonderful the wonderful head of the Emoto Peace Project, Michiko Hayashi.
Okay, what Matthew was telling me as you spoke is that all of the light beings want them to feel encouraged to continue, but do it with caution, because obviously there are forces that are against what they are doing, so proceed cautiously. He's also telling me, Ted, that you know very well that you are in touch with both Dr. Emoto and the people in his office, and that you are far better than Matthew for conveying that information to them. But he joined you in your effort.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I think they're doing wonderful work. I'll give you an example of the power of love, the power of what Dr. Emoto was talking about. Was last summer, July 25th, I had Dr. Emoto on my show, and he was on from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Seattle time, Susie, and we went over his wonderful water experiments and everything, and at about 3:30 p.m. that day, Seattle time, I asked Dr. Emoto if his experiments of love and light would help bring about world peace, and he said, oh, most certainly. So then I spontaneously said, well, why don't we do an experiment where I ask all my listeners around the world in 60 countries, and in the United States and Canada, of course, to send love and light to the Palestinians and to the Israelis, who at the time were just fighting in the Gaza Strip. And I specifically made the prayer request for them to have a short ceasefire to exchange wounded and medical supplies and food. So we did that for a few minutes. The program ended at 4. I went to where I was staying at about 8:30 p.m., and I almost never turned on the television to watch the news, but I did that night to see what was happening in the world, and I turned it on. Lo and behold, Susie, just when I turned it on CNN, CNN was reporting that the Israelis and the Palestinians had agreed to a spontaneous 12-hour ceasefire starting at 9 p.m. Seattle time to exchange food supplies and medical supplies and the wounded. And I was so happy. And it works. It does work.
Yes, and there you have the evidence of the power of love in thoughts
right.
and feelings.
Right, right. Right.
And, of course, that expands exponentially when there is more than one person putting out that same energy.
Right.
But that, yes, and, oh, I'm delighted to hear that story, Ted. Thank you.
It was so beautiful, and I want to, let's do something now while we've got some time before my next guest. Michiko Hayashi had a very beautiful saying she included on her Facebook page for Dr. Emoto for the people who've tragically been hurt in Nepal in northern India recently. I think there's thousands of people in the earthquake there. And she wrote, "Water and earth, we are sorry. Water and earth, please forgive us. Water and earth, we love you. And water and earth, we thank you." This is a poem. Actually, it's a derivative of a poem that Dr. Emoto used to use in cleaning up pollution. And like, he would go down to the Gulf of Mexico, for example, and say a similar poem down at the Gulf of Mexico. And you know what would happen, Susie, after he said that poem? The water would become cleaner. And the dolphins would come up and thank him for his help. I'm not making this up.
And, oh, I'm sure you're not. And that, that poem is Ho'oponopono.
Right.
And, yes, and the power of that is, well, that also is known. I forget the name of the doctor, the psychiatrist, who came up with that. But, yes, there is evidence all around us of the power of love and forgiveness and gratitude.
I want to just say this. To those government officials out there listening, and I'm sure there are, think of the kind of worldwide wonderful beneficial change if instead of spending trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars on the military-industrial complex for wars and nuclear weapons, that we instead simply took 5 minutes out of our daily lives, focused it on love and gratitude, and said this kind of saying that we are sorry, please forgive us, we love you, and we thank you. And that kind of meditative poem, it sounds simple, but it's effective and it works. And it's far more effective in bringing about world peace and cleaning up this planet and making it a much happier place than it is for all the monies we spend on the military-industrial complex in this country. You know, Eisenhower, his farewell speech just before he assumed the presidency in 1961, oh, President Kennedy's come back and he's reminding me of this, said the dangers of spending too much on military hardware in this country. And I think that we have there's a lesson for us to all learn from Dr. Emoto and his beautiful, beautiful work. Susie, are you there?
Oh, I am. I am. Ted, I thought you were going to read something specific. That's why I didn't comment.
Oh, no, that's all right. That's
yeah,
all right.
I tend to sort of monopolize, and I'm trying not to do that.
Oh, no, I want you to talk. That's why I brought you on. I want to ask, too, Matthew, your wonderful son, are there any messages that he has for humanity, especially from President Kennedy for our future?
Actually, what Matthew had asked me to mention prior to your call today is the power of synchronicity in our lives, that to recognize synchronous happenings. As Matthew said, and this is a chapter in one of the books, that our dictionary definition is sadly lacking in what synchronicity is. That it is the universe in operation. It is energy constantly in motion, and what it does for each of us is brings forth opportunities to keep us on track with our soul contracts, what we chose to accomplish in this lifetime. And we all came in with the goal of soul growth, evolvement, and with the common goal of bringing peace and love to our world at this time. And to recognize the open windows or open doors, we need to stay in balance. And what keeps us in balance is feeling love, thinking thoughts that are positive.
Absolutely.
In knowing that we are all divine and that we all have the innate capacity to make such a vast difference in our world. So he's asking that every one of us look at the world through the beauty that is here, through the goodness in people, because it far, far surpasses whatever is ugly and negative. And to focus on all of this beauty and goodness and the love that is in those feelings, those thoughts, and our actions of generosity and forgiveness and sharing and desire for peace. All of that energy is being radiated out into the world and accomplishing what it is that we want.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. You mentioned synchronicity. Oh, I couldn't believe it when Matthew mentioned that term, because my next guest, who's coming on board in about a few minutes here, is Dr. Gary Schwartz, and a lot of his study is on synchronicity of psychic phenomena.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's his specialty. It is in synchronicity. So right on track.
What a smarty pants Matthew is.
Well, he's laughing now. And Professor,
I know. I hear him laughing too. But so really, when he asked me to mention that, I mean, he had a purpose in mind. That wasn't just sort of a willy-nilly idea.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And the other thing...
Okay, well, there you have it.
We've just got a few minutes left, my friend, but the other thing, too, is that Professor Einstein just came in, and actually, Dr. Schwartz has been interested in Professor Einstein, so I'll be bringing him on board in a minute, but Professor Einstein just came in, and he said that... Here's a famous quote he wants to share with you and my many listeners, is that God doesn't play with dice. In other words, nothing happens by chance.
Exactly.
And you know, things which appear random really aren't, you know. And so I always remember that. Things happen for a reason. There's always a reason. And it's always good, he's saying, too, to remain positive about everything, even when you're having a bad day. If you think negative, guess what? You'll draw negativity and bad things. But if you think positive, you'll draw good things and you'll be happy. So it's always good to remember to try to remain positive even when you're having a tough time or a tough day. So,
there is usually a silver lining.
Oh yeah, right.
To all of those things that we feel are setbacks or disappointments, and if we just can put those into the context of this happened because there's something even better out there for
right.
us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'm sorry we've run out of time, Susie, but I want to thank you so much, and thank you, Matthew, for bringing in Dr. Emoto today. I know that his office was listening today, and I know that I'm so grateful for the messages that he's been able to convey. And I want to thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much, Susie. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I have loved this. I mean, this wasn't just you and I talking. This was three-way with Matthew, and then all of the other messages you were getting, too. Oh, Ted, what a delight. Thank you. Thank you for letting me be a part of this.
Well, thank you, my friend, and you have a wonderful day. That was Susie Ward with Matthew Speaks, my friends. And Susie, thanks again for coming on. I really appreciate it.
I loved it.
All right. Thank you. Okay, great, great. Now we're going to visit or interview a wonderful scientist, Dr. Gary Schwartz from the University of Arizona. Dr. Schwartz, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, good. Thank you so much for coming on today.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
Well, my friend, I have to tell you, I know that you're interested in synchronicity, and I just had a lady named Susie Ward on Her son had passed away in 1980 in a tragic car accident, and she was contacted 14 years later, where he came through to her, and she's since become a medium, where he gives her all kinds of interesting messages from the other side. And one of the messages he gave her this morning before we came on today was to be sure to mention synchronicity at the end of her interview. And so when she did, I thought, oh my goodness, that's that's what Dr. Schwartz researches and talks about. So I wanted to.
Wow. Well, then I have to share something with you because this is utterly amusing.
All right.
And it is a synchronicity.
All right.
You mentioned Professor Einstein.
Right.
And that he wished to share this quote that, you know, that God does not play dice with the universe.
Correct.
Now, why am I bringing that up? The reason is because I give a workshop at Canyon Ranch on Fridays from 1 to 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Awakening the Power Within. And it's essentially introduction to energy healing and applying these techniques to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And three quarters of the way into the workshop, I take a break. I call it taking a break in the workshop. And we spend about 15 minutes talking about synchronicity and its relationship to energy. So it's the spiritual part of this energy workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in the process of my sharing with them a bit about synchronicity, I said something to them that in the 4 years that I've been giving this workshop, I never spontaneously did before.
Mm.
And that is, I offered a quote, one of my favorite quotes, by Professor Einstein, mm-hmm. which is that coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous.
Oh, how interesting. That's fascinating.
Now, I don't normally say that quote, certainly in that workshop, mm-hmm. but I spontaneously said it, and then I drove to my laboratory to get ready for this interview, and that's a bridge between your last guest, Susie,
mm-hmm.
her son bringing up synchronicity, you bringing up Professor Einstein,
right.
and then me having this moment. So we have to celebrate those things when they happen.
Well, if I had some champagne, I'd drink some now, but to celebrate.
That's great.
I have a biography here, but if I read it, then we run out of time and I wouldn't be able to interview you. I think I'll just make it brief. You are a professor of psychology, medicine, neurology, psychiatry, and surgery at the University of Arizona and director of its Laboratory of Advances in Consciousness and Health. You are also the corporate director of the development of energy healing for the Canyon Ranch Resorts and the authors of several books, including The Afterlife Experiments, The God Experiments, and the co-author of The Living Energy Universe. You have co-authored more than 450 scientific papers, including 6 in the journal Science and co-edited 11 academic books. You've also co-authored or authored more than 450 scientific papers, including, I got that, in the journal Science. You're a fellow of the American Psychological Society, the American Psychiatry Society, the Academic of Behavioral Medium Research, and the Society of Behavioral Mediums. You've appeared on hundreds of television and radio programs, including HBO, Discovery, Arts and Entertainment, and NPR. And I just want to welcome you to the program today. Thank you so much for coming on, Gary.
You're very welcome. You didn't have to read all of that. And what's also amusing, I just have to honor the moment, is that you said that I was, a fellow of the Academy of Behavioral Medium Research. I think it's actually Behavioral Medicine. I don't think anyone's ever called it behavioral medium before, and they would be amused by that. But since, of course, you have mediumistic skills and we're talking about mediumship, maybe it's not inappropriate. Maybe someday there's going to be an American Medium Association or something like that.
Well, I scanned this off your website, and somehow somebody changed the word from medicine to medium research.
You mean it's actually changed in the thing that you're holding?
Yeah, it changed it between the time I copied and pasted it on this piece of paper I was reading for your background. Something changed it from medicine to medium research.
I would love to see that someday. That's very delightful.
I'll be...
So anyway, since we don't have too much time,
sure.
And you and I could talk for hours and hours.
Sure.
I'm going to await your questions.
All right. Well, Gary, how did you ever get interested in this field, by the way? Was there an epiphany moment for you and something happened and you ended up, you know, doing research in the psychic or medium areas?
That's a really interesting question. It began for two reasons. The very short story is I was led to it partly by physics and partly through personal encounters.
Mm-hmm.
the physics was I've been fascinated with the nature of light, and I realized that light has a kind of immortality. I mean, when you look at the when we look at the sky at night, particularly if we're out in the country away from city lights, we can see hundreds or thousands of stars with the naked eye. With telescopes, we can see billions of galaxies,
right,
each containing billions of stars.
Right.
And all that light's been traveling for millions or billions of years in the back of space, and it's all almost perfectly preserved. In fact, the if it in fact showed what's called the second law of thermodynamics, if it was degrading, when you and I look at the sky at night, we'd see mush. We don't see mush. We see a history of starlight going back billions of years. That's why we can have astronomy and astrophysics. You know, light comes in, is birthed, it travels in all directions, and then long after the star has, quote, died, its energy and information is preserved in the vacuum of space. And so I began to realize that our energy and information, our very essence, is like the light from distant stars. It, too, continues in the vacuum of space. And so what happened was, between that and then this book I wrote called The Living Energy Universe, I became open to the possibility of life after death. But it's one thing to have a theoretical openness. It's another thing to have a to actually do research in this. And that happened through a whole set of remarkable personal encounters, meeting different people. I met people, and by the way, they were almost all women, and they were all grieving loved ones who had died. Whether it was my then writing partner, Dr. Linda Russick, who was grieving the loss of her deceased father, who was a distinguished cardiologist, or Susie Smith, who had loved her mother and then ended up caring about her literally for 40 years and developed a relationship with her mother after her died. She died, or this woman, Stardust Johnson, whose husband died, and then she wanted to know whether her husband was still here. And I really cared about these people and their quest. And so what happened is, the way I express it, I say, I was pushed there by theory, by science and data. But I was pulled there by love, by Linda's love for her father, by Susie's love for her mother, by Stardust's love for her husband. And when you're pushed and pulled in the same direction, it's very hard to resist.
Oh.
So that's how I started.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? I have to tell you, Professor Einstein's coming in again, and he's wanted me to mention this to you. Your publisher of one of your books, Beyond Words, in Portland, Oregon, their marketing director was on at the beginning of my first hour today to talk about their books, and I told her you were going to be on today, and he says, "Oh, we help publish his books." I said, "Great." So
that's very nice.
So there's another synchronicity. For people interested in your books, they can go, I guess they can go to the Beyond Words publisher at www.beyondwords.com. Is there another website they can go to?
Yes, so they can go to my worst personal website, which is DR, which stands for Dr. DR, GarySchwartz.com.
Okay, okay.
And if they go to DRGARYSCHWRTZ.com, it lists, it has all of the books and my history and some videos and, commentary about different aspects of science and spirituality.
Okay, I have to ask you this question. Would you prefer to call Gary or Dr. Schwartz?
I prefer to be called Gary.
Okay, okay, good, good. Well, Gary, and you can call me anything you like as long as it's pleasant. But what I was going to say is, every year I have, last month I had a what I call a Galactic Wisdom Conference in Gig Harbor, Washington. It was a wonderful event, and I had some incredible people, some great psychics, some scientists, including one scientist from the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, named Dr. Yasuro Emoto, talking about Dr. Emoto's work, and also had some wonderful UFO people as well, people who've been had face-to-face contact with ETs. And I just thought I'd throw this out, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but for my next conference, the first week in March here in the Seattle area, would you be interested maybe in coming? I'd love to have you up if you'd like to participate.
Well, thank you very much. I'm intrigued and honored. It's a period of time where I have a lot of teaching, so I'm not sure what my schedule is.
Okay.
But in principle, it's something that I would certainly consider. And I deeply appreciate the intention and scope of your radio and show and what you're trying to do. So if I can be of assistance, I'm very happy to do so.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Gary. I was wondering, in your research into this medium and different kinds of, you know, paranormal phenomenon, have you gotten any information about what the future of humanity is? I'm always interested in that, or messages for humanity as far as our current situation.
Wow, that's a very deep question.
Right.
So I have to give a little bit about a history of what our focus is.
Okay.
Most of our focus, my lab's focus, has been on the question of, is there an afterlife, rather than what is an afterlife like?
Okay.
And it's also been focused on how do we establish that a given person, whoever it is, including yourself, how do we know whether the person is genuinely receiving communication from spirit, whatever level of spirit they're receiving,
right,
or whether they're either engaged in fraud or whether they're it's imagination or whatever.
Mm.
And the really, really deep question, the one that you're asking, which is how can all of this be of help to humanity and the evolution of our species and the planet?
Right.
And to what extent are they going to play a role in our saving ourselves?
Right.
You may remember that wonderful Pogo cartoon from many years ago, where we met the enemy and he is us.
Right.
So it's a very deep question, and we have been doing a lot of work now on what I affectionately refer to as the soul phone, the evolution from the cell phone to the smartphone to a form of technology where now spirit can be able to use these tools in the same way that, for example, you and I are using this tool right now. I presume that you're in Seattle right now.
I am, yes.
In that region, and I'm in Tucson right now.
Right, okay.
And I'm sitting in an office using my cell phone,
right,
which is a smartphone,
right,
and earbuds, which is very convenient, and we're communicating like we're right next door.
I mean,
it's like we could be face to face.
Absolutely.
It's truly phenomenal. And now young kids take this for granted. When I wrote the book, my latest book is called The Sacred Promise.
Right.
But the subtitle is How Science is Discovering Spirit's Collaboration with Us in Our Daily Lives.
Right.
And the question is, if we're working with higher spirits, can they not only, of course, foresee the possible directions that humanity is going,
right,
but can they help play a role in providing guidance and also motivation for us to grow up and to become a unified family?
Sure.
And so I would have to say that in terms of specifics on that question, it's not an area that's been of our focus. We've been more focused on trying to establish the parameters and the conditions for which they could be heard in such a way that humanity as a whole will take them seriously. Because right now, most people in mainstream society are not going to take the perceptions of any one medium or any one channeler or even a group of channelers and take it seriously. I mean, it's really an upstream fight to try to have their voices be heard in a way that they'll be taken seriously.
Sure.
And
sure.
What we're hoping to do is to contribute to establish the science of this communication, and ideally develop the soul phone to the point where it becomes so reliable that now people trust it, like you and I trust the technology that we're using right now.
In other words, to develop a method using like a telephone, using technology to contact spirits on the other side.
That's correct.
Fascinating.
And then we can then hear, and then just like any, you know, once we have this future, you know, cell phone technology, then, you know, looking for advice and predictions about the future,
right,
we have to apply the same discernment there that we would hear. Meaning, whose advice do you listen to?
Right.
And how do you trust the person there any more than we trust the person here?
Right.
So
right.
Developing wisdom about who to seek advice from, you know, is also part of the evolution of our consciousness.
Professor Einstein's telling me right now that you will find that. You will discover the technology. You'll become extremely, even more well-known than you are now once that's done, because it'll give the the ability to ring up, talk to President Kennedy that I do now, talk to President Einstein, anybody you want, basically in the spirit world, as long as they want to talk to you. I mean, that's their choice.
Exactly. It's their choice. In fact, when I lecture about this, I lecture about the Sacred Promise Book, for example, mm-hmm. you know, at Canyon Ranch on a regular basis, or I give mm-hmm. talks at various meetings you know, scientific meetings and otherwise.
Right.
I always explain to people that, you know, people worry, but they say, well, you know, aren't we disturbing them? And I say, it's no different than here. I said, they can screen their calls. They can choose to return their calls or not. So we're not preventing them from their evolution. This is more giving them the opportunity to exert their free will and be of assistance or not.
Well, I have to tell you, last week I had an amazing experience where I was talking about Nostradamus with a friend of mine. And I suddenly got an image of him back in his studio in 16th century France. He was wearing this burgundy cape, and he had kind of a hat on, and it was real smoky. And he said, "What do you want?" I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to disturb you." He says, "That's all right. I have work to do." But he said to call and contact him later if I had any questions. But I could see him scribbling away on his quatrains. It was most interesting. But you're right. I think the spirits on the other side, it's a two-way street. You can call. You can ask them for your advice. You can try to contact them, but you can't. They don't necessarily feel an obligation to pick up the receiver on the other end if they don't want to, which is certainly their choice. So,
of course.
Right. Right. Have you ever had a reading done, Gary, with, let's say, your long-lost relatives who put you in touch with people on the other side?
Yes. In fact, you know, I've written three books in this area. The uh-huh. Afterlife Experiments was the first one.
Uh-huh.
And from the very beginning, literally the very first medium that I ever had the privilege mm-hmm. to work with, mm-hmm. I mean, my parents came through.
Wonderful.
And I've written about some of those example readings, which became the early evidence that opened me to the possibility that all of this and more was real. I mean, I was, you know, I was raised to be a disbeliever. I was raised in an atheist home.
Sure.
I was raised to believe it was ashes to ashes, dust to dust, case closed. I was raised to believe that anybody who thought that they could be a medium, since there was no life after death, they had to be a fraud. They had to be misperceiving mm-hmm. themselves and self-deluding themselves,
right. Right.
if they weren't consciously deluding others. And so the journey for me to start from this one extreme, and then
right.
slowly but surely, as the evidence continued to emerge,
right.
being led to the opposite condition. In fact, conclusion. But the fact that when I finished my first book, The Afterlife Experiments, I was forced to the conclusion that some mediums were real. And I worked with people like John Edwards and Suzanne Northrup, for example,
sure.
who were very distinguished mediums, mm-hmm. and they forced me through very sophisticated experiments that they were willing to, uh-huh. as John Edwards said, put himself in the hot seat
right. sure.
of being tested under blinded conditions.
Yeah.
And it's the really brave, you know, mediums who are willing to, you know, put themselves on the line for what they believe in.
Well,
so anyway, the answer is yes. I've had this okay. privilege on multiple occasions over the years.
Well,
and why are you asking? Are you sensing that my parents are here right now?
Well, yes, they are, actually. They are here, and they think you're doing wonderful, fantastic work, Gary, and they want you to continue, of course. And this studio has lit up again. There's another white light in here, and it's your parents who've come through. And I also would like to volunteer. You're welcome to put me on the hot seat, the frying pan, whatever you want. I've been...
Really?
Absolutely.
Listen, your audience is hearing this, and I think that that's a beautiful thing for you to acknowledge on the air, and also to do it not only in the presence of Professor Einstein, but also to do it in the presence of my parents. And so what I would like to do in honor of your saying this is to share with you what I shared within an email. You know, I am a scientist, and it's in some respects it's a heavy cross to carry,
right?
Because I have to walk a middle ground. I have to start unbiased.
Right.
Meaning,
but
whenever I meet any person, let me just finish this point. Whenever I meet any person, doesn't matter whether they're a psychic or a healer, no matter how famous they are or unknown they are.
Right.
If they tell me they're making contact with Professor Einstein or Mr. and Mrs. Schwartz or whoever, I take a totally agnostic position. I don't assume they can do it. I don't assume they can't do it. So I start in the middle. And then what I do is I look for evidence under ever more controlled conditions that will lead me to the conclude they're correct or conclude they're incorrect. So that's the way, of course, I am with you as well. We've spoken once on the phone.
Right.
And I feel it's a privilge to do that.
Well,
but if you are saying, you know, that you feel sufficiently comfortable in all the experiences that you've had and witnessed, that you believe that this is not all, this is the, and I mean this with great, what's the word, respect and with honor and reverence. When I say that a medium believes that not everything they experience is their imagination, meaning that at least a subset of what they're getting, they're actually getting from spirit.
Well,
so it's a conservative stance. But if you really believe that that's true and we can do that scientifically, I applaud you and I say let's do it.
I'd love to do it. Now, for me to get the best readings, I have to be in a quiet meditative state, and that's basically the criteria. I can't be under a lot of stress.
By the way, see, you know what's really interesting about this, Ted,
and
I hope your audience can hear this. I'm sure you've not read The Afterlife Experiment. Is that correct?
No, I have not. No.
Mm-mm. Perfect. Because what you don't know about me is that, first of all, what I do whenever I work with any individual is I find out the conditions that are optimal for them to do their craft.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's my job to create the circumstances that best work for them and simultaneously can lead us to a scientific conclusion. And the metaphor that I use is that, let's say we want to find out whether a seed can grow. Well, what we want to do is we want to give it optimal soil, optimal light, mm-hmm. optimal amounts of water. We want to create the optimal conditions for it to grow, and then it's up to it to bloom or not. We don't want to deprive it of water. We don't want to deprive it of light, if that's what it needs.
Right.
Well, it's the same thing with a medium. A medium has to have optimal conditions for her or him to be able to receive in the most accurate way possible.
That's true.
So it's my job to listen for you to tell me what are the conditions that best meet your needs, and then we design those circumstances so that what we do is we give you, in basketball, the home court advantage.
We're running right to the end. We still have a couple of minutes, but I want to thank everyone for tuning in today. We're having a wonderful, fascinating discussion with Dr. Gary Schwartz of the University of Arizona. And one week from today, we will be having on some fascinating people, including Dr. Louis Turi, who's one of the best astrologers and psychics in all of France. He'll be coming on. And also, as well as Richard Cohn, who's the publisher of Beyond Words Books in Portland, to talk about his wonderful book publishing company and some of the wonderful people who he publishes, including you, Gary, including your works as
well. Say hi to Richard for me next week. Say hi to him for me when you speak to him.
I sure will. And I also want to mention real quick that I will be participating at a UFO conference on the third week in California at Mount Shasta, hosted by the wonderful Rob Potter of Victory Radio. I will be having some information put up that on my website next week. It's not there yet, but probably next week. My website address is www.outofthisworld1150.com. Also, too, I want to mention a wonderful Hollywood producer named Emmanuel Eiter. He's produced two wonderful spiritual films, including Famine and Vocation. I will be in two of his spiritual films later this year. And, Gary, I'd like to follow up with you after our interview's done today. I'd be love to test my mediumship and psychic abilities. And we have about 45 seconds left. I'd like to give you the floor and for you to wrap up today's program.
Well, first of all, I wish to thank you for everything that you're trying to do, and to thank Professor Einstein and my parents and anyone else who from the other side who may be here.
Dr.
I have
here.
Become convinced that it's fantastic. I had the privilege of knowing him. In fact, we spoke at Canyon Ranch a few years before he transitioned. And that I think we have a great responsibility and opportunity to be of service both to here and there. And science can take us to spirit to be of service to this work. and bring clarity to all of this.
Thank you, Gary, for coming on today, my friend. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. We'll be back next week at this same time. Bye-bye.